everybody. Bruce Jenkins is here.
The great Bruce Jenkins.
All right,
yeah.
From the Chronicle. Very good. Go ahead, Marcy.
Man, I wish I was there. I just was happy to see that so many of our players were chosen for, like, the most valuable player, because our whole team are most valuable players. And the one that I said would be Brandon Bell, because he's always, like, in the shadows and, you know, like, he always scoops out every single ball thrown to him, no matter where it is. He reaches out with his 15-inch shoe size and keeps his foot on the bag no matter what, and he reaches out like the baby giraffe he is and catches every single thing. He flips over railings to catch balls, and I just think he's always underestimated, and I was happy to hear him on earlier with you guys.
I love it. Very good. I hope you're a winner, Marcy. I would hope Belt is a hero.
Thanks,
tonight.
Marcy.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Marcy. All right, let's get one more before Bruce Jenkins joins us. Tom in Larkspur, you're on KMBR 680. Bruce, we're picking out who's the giant tonight, who's going to be sort of the MVP of the game.
Hey, Marty, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Marty, my pick is Marco Scudero. I just can't get over the fact that he's had only 15 swing and misses at strikes and over 1,000 potential pitches this year. It's an incredible record. He's great. He's going to hit a double to right. He's going to hit a double to left. We're going to win the game 2-1.
I love it. All right. All right. Very good. Good one, Tom. I appreciate it. All right.
Awesome.
Is that the first Scudero pick, Marty?
Oh, no. We've had Marco pick Scudero.
Marco pick Scudero.
Whoever
gotcha.
He was. But, no, we've had about three or four.
Okay.
We've had some Belts, Crawford.
Sure.
And, you know, Marcy actually, Bruce, pick it up. Marcy actually said something that makes sense. You know, they picked everybody, including Bumgarner and Romo.
Tim Flannery was chosen.
It's one of those teams.
It's that kind of team. I mean, if this was a Bonds team, I think it would be pretty easy to go that way. But you're right. I mean, and I'm thinking two guys. One of them is obvious, because if Bumgarner pitches a gem,
boom,
it changes everything, you know, because the rotation has been very vulnerable by their standards, and that would be a heck of a thing. But I'm going to go Blanco.
Yeah.
It's all right-handers for the Cardinals. He should be in there every day. He's not afraid, as we saw in Cincinnati when he drilled that home run. And I think I'm going to go with him.
All right, and he had the big hit to start the rally against Latos and that threat, Bruce. We talked about this, and I'm telling you, in spring training, we sat together. That threat of the stolen base.
Oh, man.
And Latos had a throw over there. Then Latos missed the strike zone, allegedly, a couple of times. And then he had to come into Crawford, and Crawford didn't miss.
Yeah. He got rattled, as he's want to do, but you force those things by disruption. And with Pagan and Blanco, it's an element they certainly haven't had in a while, and it's really refreshing.
Well, let me ask you this. You wrote a great column today. Pat talked about
fabulous.
It this morning.
Loved it.
About the two catchers.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's Campanella and Yogi Berra and, you know, Ernie Lombardi and Gabby Hartnett.
I knew you'd like that one.
No, I loved it.
Yeah. That's exactly what I thought about.
Bruce, the only one talking to me.
Well, anytime you get Gabby Hartnett in, I think I know I've got Marty at least.
Yeah. Mickey Cochran. Yeah. Bill
the
Dickey.
Only Marty. Man.
Bill Dickey. Mickey, you know, these are Hall of Fame catchers that played in World Series. But this is quite a matchup of Yadier Molina and Buster Posey.
And the difference is, you know, when you look back at Bill Dickey playing with Joe DiMaggio, or, you know, Bench with the Big Red Machine and the Carlton Fisk teams, and, you know, Mickey Cochran's teams, they all were surrounded by great players. And Posey kind of stands pretty well above these guys, just in terms of, you know, what he's done, how he's viewed. He's an MVP candidate, but not so much to where he towers like a Bonds or Pujols. You know, it's a really cool dynamic that goes on there. And Molina, I think some of the Giants fans might be surprised, but that's how the Cardinals think of him.
Yeah.
He's an unbelievable leader. He's been a tremendous hitter this year, better than ever before. He's a very tough defensive catcher, handles the pitchers well, and he's their MVP. So it's a little different.
Yeah, and I was telling someone today off Romo, 4-for-7, Molina off Romo. Couple of doubles and a homer, so watch that at the end of the game.
Yeah, no
you
kidding.
May think you're out of trouble, and all of a sudden Molina comes up, and Romo's going to have to, if it comes up, that's a good matchup to see. But, you know, I say NLCS, I don't even use those words anymore. This is for the pennant.
Exactly.
This is the pennant, and if you're a fan of a team, whether it's the Tigers, the Cardinals, the Orioles, you know how many pennants your team won. You don't know how many times you've been to the NLCS or ALCS. But you win the pennant.
And you know what? I love it. This may have been Peter McGowan's idea, but outside the press entrance, when you look up on the building there, they've got National League pennants. That's exactly how it's phrased, the last being 2010. And you're right, that's what matters. And
all right, Cardinals as opposed to the Reds, and you were there for the Red Series. You got to see it. You know this Cardinal team. What's your take on the difference maybe and what the Giants are up against?
I think you got tougher outs all the way up and down by quite a bit, actually, especially considering that Votto is he's not the same playing on that bad knee, and nobody wanted to say it, but, I mean, he hasn't homered since June, you know, so. But these guys, we saw it in the Washington series, you pick any guy is a tough at-bat. Any guy's drilling, you know, a clutch base hit. I mean,
Descalzo
just hammered that ball. Talk about the pressure, just crushed it.
Should Desmond have knocked
I think
knocked
Crawford
that
would have had it, but, you know, Desmond didn't, you know.
Should Desmond have knocked that down?
Yeah, you got to keep it in front of you. You know, I mean, it was a bullet, but still, it's right around waist level. So Crawford swallows it. Ozzie Smith, you know, no problem, but I feel bad for Desmond. But just the point being is that these guys, and of course, you know, then you get to Freeze and Beltran. My God, he could single-handedly, you know, dismantle everything right here if he's on as a switch hitter. But I think this lineup is way way tougher. And as much as the Reds pitching, you know, was successful, I mean, you got Kyle Loess, you know, had great numbers, and Ben Carpenter is the real sleeper here. He all of a sudden he shows up in September when he should have been out for the season, and he's about as tough as they get. He's a Jack Morris tough. So
yeah, and only three starts during the regular season, and then the one start against Washington.
Yeah,
and you just wonder, you know, look, they have a good bullpen. You know, they come in with 100 miles an hour. Trevor Rosenthal,
yeah,
what
exactly
do you see this guy?
I know, I can't wait to see him. He's,
you know.
He's a story of the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, he comes in at 100, then Boggs, and then Mott. So this is all, you know, big fastball stuff. But Carpenter is a key for me because, you know, Bruce, somebody's got to step up in the seven-game series, different than the five-game series. Now, Verlander and Sabathia won it for their teams. But in the seven-game series, they generally go a little deeper in the series because it's a back-and-forth, you get better pitching. Somebody's got to take the ball.
Yeah, I'm so glad we're into this best in seven now. I mean, a little bit of a desperation angle is gone. A loss in game one or two isn't the end of the world. There's always the home and away thing makes a lot of sense. And I tell you, Carpenter is the kind of guy who will be that guy for you. And the Giants need, I'd say, you know, either Kane or Bumgarner to all of a sudden step up and be that, you know, Bob Gibson, Koufax, you know, Lou Burdette.
Well, think about it. I mean, Bumgarner goes in game one.
Yeah.
Game five is always a pivotal game if it goes that far, because it could be 2-2 at that point, or 3-1 or 1-3. You don't know. So game five is always a very, you know, the odd games. As a seven-game series, keep your eye on the odd games. The odd games are always very important because it's 1-1 or 0-2, 2-0, and that third game becomes important. Fifth game, too. So he would get 1-5.
Yeah.
Vogelsong would get 2-6.
Yeah.
And then Kane gets 3-7.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty good. I mean, that's about as good as you'd want, considering that some of these guys have had struggles. You know, your big decision comes in game four, so you got a little breathing room. You can see how it goes. You might need to use Lincecum in relief in these first two games.
Yes.
They don't seem to lose when Zito's out there, so I'd say it sets up really well for them.
All right, Bruce Jenkins with us, everybody. Big hand for Bruce Jenkins here.
Good job.
Good baseball man. Good baseball man. Let's take a very quick break. Can you stick around? 808 KMBR. We'll get all the calls in. Don't worry. We've got Hawaiian Airlines coming up.
Yep.
We got a lot to do here. But this is
busy.
What an afternoon. All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.
KNBR 680. KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on the Sports Leader.
It's like being in court again. Really, it's so much fun being out here and seeing everybody. I said it yesterday. I like being out here and seeing, you know, we have such enthusiasm out here. And then you go inside and it sort of translates inside. But this is, I get excited about it. This is a huge series.
There's nothing quite like the excitement outside of the stadium in postseason ball.
I
had a good portion of being all over the country and I never get tired of it. You can just feel the energy that these fans have been waiting all year. 162, they're the faithful, and by God, here we go, you know?
Well, you got the Tigers and Yankees, Giants and Cardinals. I mean, if the Giants win the pennant, we got East Coast baseball coming here.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what that means? That means that East Coast TV comes here, East Coast sports writers come here, and it becomes a big deal.
Yeah, I saw Tim McCarver up there, so I know we're in the big time now.
he lives in Napa now.
But he's doing the...
Oh, that's right. He'll do the
game. Buck's bouncing back and forth, right?
I guess so. He's a big football guy, yeah. So.
Well...
I'm a baseball guy. There's no question where I'm going to be.
Where do you think I'm going to be?
It's baseball Marty.
How about me?
Yeah, oh, God.
What do you think about Hunter Pence and the speech, Bruce? Because you were in Cincinnati, and what was your take on that?
Well, I mean, on the real side, they went out and got one hit in nine innings. But there was something about it that really resonated. I was in the locker room afterward, and I wasn't aware of it, and I just started hearing little bits and pieces about it. And the more I asked around... And looking at the guys' faces talking about it, you know, guys like Affelt and Vogelsong, I mean, they were really moved by it. I mean, it came out of nowhere, really, because Boshi was, you know, called the guys together.
Right, he made the
Old Testament.
Gideon, right? Wasn't Gideon his source?
They played some good ball back then, the way I remember it.
Was Wee Willie Killer on that team?
A song about Gideon's Bible or something?
Yeah, switch hitter, good ball player, Gideon, But then Hunter Pence comes over and just fire and brimstone, you know, obscenities, and his veins popping, and what it did, and they did win the game, and you know, he wound up being the symbol of all that by hobbling down to first base after he got the cramps. He looked like a guy who really had to go to the bathroom, and it was about 75 yards longer than it wanted to be, and that was a big hit in the game. So that it turned into a theme, and then the next night. He does a similar thing in the dugout, and then again, I don't know if it's going to happen maybe every night now.
And you know, we live in somewhat of a sophisticated town. The city that knows how, as Herb Cain used to say, and they may show this on the board tonight because he does it in the dugout. This place will go nuts tonight with him doing that.
I mean, and you know, we got the panda hats and giraffe hats, and we had the milkmen. So,
and
I mean,
the halos.
These people aren't afraid to let their hair down a little bit.
Was this the best pregame speech since Barry Bonds, Bruce?
It was way better than Barry Bonds.
Get out of my chair.
I didn't.
Maybe Ichiro's All-Star Game speech is
a
classic,
that's a good one.
Too.
Yeah.
He drops a couple of bombs on, you know, let's go and win the bomb game.
Right.
You know.
It was amazing because Pence has only been here at like 9 weeks, and it's not like he's torn it up completely. He's not the kind of
completely.
Guy.
Completely? Come on, he's hitting 220.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but he was the man for the job, and he was accepted, and it turned out to be kind of a cool thing.
All right. 7-game series versus 5-game series. It's an eternity. It's a different deal.
Yeah, because even when the 5-game series go 2-2-1, which is what we'll get back to next year, it's just too desperate. I mean, the travel is too crowded. Then you come back. I mean, for years in that, there was no travel day. I remember being in Yankee Stadium when the A's were in one of these, and they had to play the next day in Oakland. It's tough. It's certainly better than a best-of-3 or a 1-gamer, but 7 is so beautiful, and the travel days are built in. Everybody gets a good, healthy taste of their team, the home fans. And it's great. I'm so glad to see it.
How good is this ball club?
I think it's very good. But I think the Cardinals are very much the same kind of team. And, you know, they've pulled off some things last year down to their last strike twice against Texas. Yeah. And then that Washington game, you know, that matches up with what the Giants did in Cincinnati in a huge way. But the Giants are a very good team. And, you know, if Bumgarner and Kane were to pitch gems, you'll see how good this team really is. And nobody's going to want to face them.
Yeah, that's the fear of facing a team like this in the playoffs.
Because they've done this with the rotation a little bit down.
Yeah.
They've gotten this far for a month, really.
That's the key to this whole deal, to see if they pitch their way through this thing. Because you got to pitch in the 7-game series. You got to do it. Boy, nice to have you with us. All right.
Always.
I'll
see
you upstairs.
The tireless Marty Lurie, the man, I tell you.
And Bruce has been involved with the weekend shows all year long.
It's been a real treat. You know, again, we couldn't get you on last weekend, I know, because of Cincinnati. And where were you?
Well, I was in Detroit, and it was getting near game time.
And my phone wasn't working.
There was a confluence of bad events. But here we are once again.
All right. Good to see you, as
Thanks,
always.
Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
For having
me. All right. The great Bruce Jenkins, everybody. Let's hear it for Bruce.
Thanks, Bruce.
That was a great job. Really a great job.